Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Wait a minute.
Rana.
I have to, now, do I have my newscaster hair on today? Because I tried to do a little bit more of a conservative look for today because Clarissa Wood, who I should mention Leslie Stahl.
I was literally about to mention Leslie Stahl.
I forgot. Ugh. Remind me to remind her I know Leslie Stahl.
Stahl?
Oh, she was my neighbor in Marblehead. She was absolutely a nightmare.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, she wasn't a nightmare, but you know, she just had a little, she had a little.
Was this like pre 60 Minutes?
No, of course, during 60 Minutes.
You're kidding.
No, Leslie
Stahl. Oh my
Stahl.
God. Yeah. I wish she still lived here.
I tried to do my Leslie Stahl here today so that Clarissa will admire
do your
60 me.
Minutes, Rana. Just really saying your name.
I'm Rana Glickman.
I buy it.
How was
I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm Brian. Hang on. I'm Brian Safi.
Great job, because you knew mine was going to come before yours. So I say, I'm Rana Glickman.
I'm Brian Safi.
This
and
is
then I forget what they
60
say.
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes.
Yeah, fabulous.
Rana.
I'm very excited. We have a very
have
exciting guest.
I should have auditioned for her. Yes, yes, you're right.
We should. Should we tell people that we're doing the rare thing where, because Clarissa's in London, we're recording the intro after the interview?
We already met Clarissa, and I'm really regretting everything.
Just cats out of the bag.
Cats out of the bag. I didn't do any of my audition material for her.
No, I think we both felt deeply in love with her during the interview.
Well, she's a real Rana. She really is.
Oh, I thought she was more of a Brian than I expected.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
She was right in between us then. She was sort of a little bit of both.
A Brana?
She was a Brana.
Yeah.
Don't forget your Brana.
So, dear.
Yeah.
This is so exciting. This is our 49th episode.
Oh, my God.
Which means we have our 50th episode coming up next week.
And it means we're only 20 away from the 69th.
Yeah. That is what that
was. Which is kind of cool. But 50
episodes.
It means
we have been doing this show for nearly a year, dear.
2 weeks shy of a year. 50 is a milestone, Rana.
I never thought we'd make it to 25. I really didn't.
Really?
Yeah. I really didn't.
I felt like we would. Because I'll tell you, Rana, you start something and then you just don't. You're not a quitter. You're just not.
Oh, I didn't think I was going to quit.
You thought I was going to quit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, come on. Always looking for a better offer. The good news is, fortunately, you get other offers, but they're a little different. They scratch a different itch.
I don't think I've ever really even quit anything before.
No, you're not a quitter. But it's I have to say, it has been a fabulous almost a year. And I just... I'm in love with you as the day I met you, dear. It has been so fun to spend this time together.
It's been an honor for me.
I love the way the show has grown in the last year.
I mean, by the way, Rana, in 1 year, look where everything's at.
We have so many fabulous friends that join us in the Carriage House every week.
That are, frankly, we've really kicked it up a notch.
Yeah, and we have-
I mean, they've always been great. I don't mean the guests. I just mean the entire show has been just really elevated.
Well, you know what? We're constantly moving. We just have. We're just those kind of people that are constantly moving forward.
That's right.
And we've had so many fabulous guests lately. We have some absolutely killer, as they say, guests coming up. Yep. And for our 50th episode, I'm going to tell people right now, I probably shouldn't even tell them, but I'm going to tell them. We have a dear friend and filmmaker, Paul Feig, as our guest.
Now, this is someone, Rana, I will not be shut out of that conversation because I know that you are very good friends with Mr. You call him Mr. Feig, don't you?
Mr. Feig, of course. Okay. Like Mr. Trump. I'm like Michael Cohen. Mr. Trump, at that time, Mr. Trump said did you see Rachel Maddow interview Michael Cohen?
No. How was it?
It was a totally surreal experience because she was positively glistening with glee.
Because his answers were so crazy?
Because she wanted all of the dirt.
The dirt.
And it was almost, in a weird way, despicable because he's the kind of character that she's obviously been railing. I mean, this is what's fun about TV journalism, though, those being an interviewer, is that you can often hate someone for years, and then when you get them on the interview, you have to figure out how to function. And that they also have something you want, which is the dirt.
Yes.
She
intel.
Was a
Trade
glow.
Secrets.
She was a glow. But he kept talking about Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump this. He still calls him Mr. Trump. Yeah. So then I wouldn't know I couldn't speak as to the mental state of Mr. Trump. I could only
He's
tell you what
he
said.
He's a lie and a sham. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He talks like a real body.
Yeah, he does.
You know?
Like a
Which
real
I guess
taxi,
he kind of was.
Like a real
fixer.
Taxi medallion owner.
Completely.
Completely.
Rana. Completely. Speaking Finish. Of which, guess who's on track to get their taxi medallion?
You?
Oh, no. No.
Cash Cab?
No, I know you don't like Cash Cab, but it's all I want to be in. I would love, if Cash Cab is listening, pick me up.
You and Drew Drogi and Jeff Hillard should be in Cash Cab together.
I would absolutely love it. The driver would drive off a cliff, but I would absolutely, it would just be all sink to our deaths. But I'd be, and by the way, at a certain point, it would get competitive with like, no, I'm going to answer this one. I got it.
Yeah.
It would be a lot of that.
So
and Ron, if you were on Cash Cab, you would just sit back and be like, Maz. Or whatever the answer is. You just like, say
it's
it.
Exactly what I would do. I'd say, Max.
Yeah. And then you look at your question. Watch and be like, sorry, dear, can you take 86th? Okay. And then the next question would come.
That is exactly what I would do.
Yeah. Next question. Okay, dear. That's how you would be. And I would be like sweating. It's true.
Who's about to get the taxi medallion?
Well, I don't know if they're about to get their taxi medallion, but someone sold him an old taxi.
No,
it's going to help with the delivery, but someone sold him.
No, I don't have, I can't do that on my 49th. I can't be starting a new thread on the Lobsterman on my 49th episode. I just can't do it.
No, but he's fixing up this car and then he's going to start charging. The meter doesn't really work, so he's kind of working on a system. But I told him that's great because you could deliver the... Because, he has a car that works, sometimes doesn't work, works,
Is
doesn't work.
Is it a crazy yellow cab like from the Queen Latifah Jimmy Fallon movie?
It's like a checker.
What was that called again? Taxi?
Taxi.
Something? Taxi.
Just taxi.
Really? Just like the TV show?
Yes.
It wasn't called Taxi Time or Taxi Madness or something?
I don't think it was called Taxi Madness. I think it was literally, do you want me to look it up?
Please.
Oh my God.
We can't trust Dante, that's for sure.
I already did. But anyway. It's called Taxi.
Yep. Okay.
You know what, Dante? Oh, I'm not interested in that fresh attitude at all.
But, Rana, his best this time.
He said,
I already did. I didn't need the attitude, Dante. You could have just popped in and said, "It's Mrs. Glickman, it's called Taxi." Thank you.
I forgot that I have to say Mrs. Glickman. You're right.
Mr. Trump, Mrs. Glickman, Mr. Feig.
Mr. Safi. You don't have to say you're right, Dante. Okay? That is implied in any conversation that we're having together.
Rana, what are you going to do about this? I mean, this is like next level bullshit coming from Dante.
Well, he's still got his mic on. Turn it off, Dante. We're talking about you. You're not
allowed
to respond.
You are too, can I be honest with you? You are too hard on Dante.
About that. What I put up with from Dante, you wouldn't believe.
Dante, if you ever in the Boston area and you need a cab, let me know.
Okay. You know Thank what? Yeah. Please, Dante, mute. That's it. Gnug. All right.
Okay, Rana.
In any event.
Yes.
We had Anne Marine last week, of course, who we love.
We did.
Buy her book.
Yes.
We have a very different kind of author this week.
We had Little Miss Little Compton with cute braces on and sparklers.
And now we have Little Miss Little Damascus for this week.
Correct. We have Clarissa Ward, who is, listen, where Arden brought the truly the quirks and insanity and wildness of her upbringing in Rhode Island and with her parents and grandparents. She's bringing us, I mean, I guess the
I will say they are both true eccentrics.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Genuine eccentrics.
I would agree with that.
Which I think is a true compliment.
Yes.
Okay. Now we have a couple of comments for a change here today.
Rana, I mean, it's been a while since we've really honored ourselves.
And is there any more housekeeping? Oh, of course, the Kiss Kiss mug is available.
Flying off the shelves.
Podswag.com/AskRana. If you get there and it's sold out, I don't know what to tell you, but we'll be replenishing at some point. But it's limited quantities. I mean, what can we do here? And now, then we have a book club coming up. I want to remind people that's normally end of September, but it's October 2nd this month. That's
Orlando.
And we have this, we'll be announcing, we got such a response, Brent.
Now this is spooky, Rana.
It's our October book club.
Oh, I got shivers.
We did a poll. We had people send us their suggestions, and it was, I mean, I'm not kidding. In the first day, within not even 4 hours of posting this thing, we had 37 comments on the board. So people have went crazy for this.
Great.
Then we did the poll.
Okay.
And we'll be announcing our pick, not your pick, our pick.
That's right.
With Cynthia Dupree Sweeney.
That's right. Excuse me. Thank you for nominating, but we will ultimately, the decision is ours to make.
Which just announced that Echo will be releasing her new book, Good Company, next year. Very
fabulous.
Exciting. Yeah.
So do you think there's a part for me? Oh, no, I guess it's a book. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, but they sell those books into movies in a minute. You should definitely bring it up to Cynthia the next time.
I will. You don't think that's gauche, Rana?
For you, no.
Okay. I'll definitely bring it up.
And then, of course, the hunt for Red October, the hunt for the blue check mark continues.
I'm not reading that. Oh, okay. Correct. I'm sorry.
The amount of attitude I deal with on a daily basis.
The hunt Give us for the blue check. Start following us on Instagram everywhere, but I'm not reading the hunt for Red October.
There's somebody started a Twitter account. Did you see this?
I think I did, called like Is Rana or something. Ask something. I did see
Is
this.
Ask Rana or something. I think I thought it was you. So I tagged
I thought
you
it was you.
I'm starting ghost Twitter accounts, Brian.
No, I
that's
mean,
who I
did,
am.
Never mind. You did tag me in something though about it. You said you thought it was me.
I did.
And well, it isn't Rana.
It's called this. And it's very funny, actually, this person. Maybe they'll be gone by the time this comes out. But they're called, hold on.
I have it. Is Ask Rana.
Is
you
Ask
right.
Rana. And the account is called Is Ask Rana Verified Yet.
I've clicked on it now. And then in the banner, it says unverified in leopard.
That's exactly right. And this
Terrific.
Person is doing everything they can. They only have 30 followers as of this writing. But don't go following them without following us. Excuse me.
Well, excuse me, Rana. In their profile, now I think we might know who it is. It says hashtag not Yadvina. So they're saying they're not Yadvina, but that
know,
might
but
be a clue.
I know, but the English is very good. That's better than Google Translate English. So I'm not sure if that's really
she
Yadvina.
She speaks English.
Yeah, but she's not so great. When she
is Ukrainian a language or what? Or does she
it
speak?
It is its own language, but it's also, it's related to Russian. It's Cyrillic. Don't you don't you remember from when David was in Ukraine with Lana?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do, but I didn't notice the difference between the Ukrainian and
well,
the
I know, but
Russian.
Don't stat that because that's a whole international foreign policy conversation.
Correct.
About
correct.
Noticing the difference between Ukraine and Russia.
I actually am embarrassed I said that.
And if you know, because if you ask Putin, he'll say that's exactly the point, Brian. That's why it should belong to us. Nobody barely notices the difference.
And then he'll give me a glass of something to drink. And
it's like Canada in here. We may as well just take them over.
Right.
That's outrageous. That's how he feels about it.
There was a lot of talk about dictators, oligarchies, and now I'm honestly curious as to which side you fall down on.
Well, if I'm the head of state, I'm on the side of the dictator. Okay.
Rana, can we read some of these lovely
Please,
comments?
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, follow us on Instagram. I'll say it one more time even.
Yeah. And of course, the coffee. Rather be looking at it than looking for it, Brian. That's how I feel.
And I feel the same way about the mug, Rana.
And it couldn't look more gorgeous in this perfect Kiss Kiss mug. I can't do the spokes modeling quite as well as you. There we are.
You, I think you do a lovely job.
Look at that.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Glistening. You're like Rachel Maddow on that interview.
Don't you dare.
On that interview.
If I was Rachel Maddow, I would wear a high-necked shirt. That's just me.
Wow.
But she's got a very long neck. But in any event.
Dear Ronna and yeah. Brian. Okay, this is about our episode with Ed.
Oh.
From a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I loved our episode
He's
with Ed.
The best.
Yeah.
Dear Ron and Brian, I loved your most recent podcast with Ed Kimber and the talk of Borough Market. Bermondsey High Street and Brindisa. It made me ever so homesick. When Ed talked about how he started spelling his name in the style of a puppet who used to be on the BBC when he was growing up, I was struck with a particular sense of nostalgia because I used to watch the same puppet when I was a kid too. I've attached a picture of Ed the Duck, and again, that's EDD, the Duck, for your reference. Thank you for being such joyful lights in the current darkest timeline in which we find ourselves. God, kiss, kiss, Andy. This duck is adorable, Rana.
Oh, that's one for the carousel. We'll put that in the carousel.
He's got a Mohican, as
he
Ed
does
would say.
A green Mohican, as Ed would say. Yeah.
Correct. Listener W. Canyer or W. Conyer give us 5 stars and writes, over the moon, excuse me. Ronna and Brian, capital Y, are qualified to give you the advice that you need as far as I'm concerned. First off, I'm ashamed to say I've waited this long to rate and review. I've listened from the beginning, so I'm not proud of my delay. Let's just say that. All of that aside, I wanted to commend these two on sharing genuine wisdom and compassion when responding to listeners' letters. I work as a mental health therapist, so it's encouraging to hear that they all are providing advice that is consistent with evidence-based approaches.
Oh, good to know. We had no idea.
I can tell
we just go on instinct around here.
It gets true.
Yeah.
I can tell both of them have done some wonderful self-awareness work. Where better to share it than this life-giving pod? Ronna and Brian, capital Y, are wise. And of course, hilarious folks who deserve your listening ears. Kiss, kiss.
Very nice.
What about that, Ronna? Yeah. Do you want to read the next one or would you like me to keep going?
I love when you read, but I could read this one. Okay. Tarasaurus Rex.
Cute. I like
gives
it.
Gives 5 stars only and continues. Yep. I simply had to review. Been a fan of Ron's for years and loved hearing Brian on some of my favorite podcasts through the years. When I saw them collaborating on this production, I was absolutely thrilled. Come for the advice, stay for the delightful rapport, invigorating guests, and overall upgrade to your lifestyle. No other podcast is so consistent with its hosts and its guests. Excuse me.
Kiss, kiss. Then, so sweet.
Yeah, very nice.
Then very nice.
You better read this one.
Oh, Ronna, by the way, I saw this.
You did see this?
I saw it as it unfolded, and I meant to even tell you about it because I was like, oh my God, she's fully listening to the podcast.
Who does she think she is?
Biting your style, Ronna.
Who does she think she is?
I actually, because I watched this interview, I was like, wait, what? And I thought, she's made one too many trips to Marblehead to be copying your style.
How dare she?
It's not right. Which means I'm assuming it means she's sauna privileges.
Well, she'd have to be to get the look this right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hi, Ronna and Brian, capital Y. You know, here's what I'm going to say about the capital Y. I've said it before. I usually like it, but there's sometimes occasionally I don't. And I didn't like it this last time.
Just this question or just today?
No, just this question.
Okay.
But I don't know why.
Because they wrote hi. That's why.
And then a period at the end.
There's an assumed familiarity that you're not interested in. You like when they say, dear Ronna and Brian, capital Y, because they're showing deference to you.
Maybe you're right.
Sarah, hi, Ronna and Brian. Excuse, what do you mean, hi? Who says we're friends? It's the familiarity that you're not interested in.
Jane Fonda was on the Howard Stern show yesterday, and I couldn't help but clock who her style icon must be. Photo attached. Two beautiful, dynamic women. Kiss, kiss, Nick. Ronna, it looks exactly like you.
And the subject of the email was Jane Ronda.
Cute. That's cute.
Excuse me. Not Jane Fonda, but Jane Ronda. And I have to say, I mean, this is one for the carousel. But
oh, no kidding.
Is she kidding?
It is. She's wearing a leopard print shirt. Her hair done, by the way, Ronna.
Look at her hair.
Exactly like
Look
yours.
Look at her hair in the front. Is
it
she
is
kidding?
Exactly your. If she were wearing glasses, I would honestly think that was you.
How dare she? Between her and Judith Light on Transparent, this right. is what I have to deal with.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Listen. You know, Rana, the way things are going, she's probably going to be on the podcast in a minute anyway. And so then she can explain herself.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. She probably wants to come on and talk about climate change.
Sure.
Yeah.
And getting arrested.
The Red Coat Brigade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What warriors?
Speaking of brigades, maybe the Al-Aqsa Brigade. That's one of the, what's one of the, you know, extremist factions in the Middle East.
Okay.
We have fabulous Clarissa Wood coming up. And I just want to say, it's unfortunate that we still are under lockdown and that she wasn't able to come to Marblehead.
I think she'd love it here.
On the other hand, it's probably better for everybody. Because
that's true.
If Clarissa Wood and I were strolling down the street in Marblehead, down Atlantic Avenue, I mean, do you think people could handle two gorgeous blondes like that walking down there? They'd have to call Sanjay Gupta from CNN to helicopter him in to revive
which
the population.
Probably she has him on speed dial anyway.
She probably does.
CNN.
We forgot to ask her, if you ever have a yeast infection, do you call Sanjay Gupta?
We did forget to ask her that.
Ask him what she should take. I wonder if that's in Sanjay Gupta's contract, is that he has to give all the battlefield reporters
yearlies.
Advice if they're looking for yearlies. Give them advice if they're looking for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
There you go. Well, when we do a second two-parter with her, we'll do a follow-up with
her. She was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And a lot of smart.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So fabulous, down to earth, gorgeous, smart, such an incredible risk taker and doing such important work. And
yes.
So what a pleasure to have such a fun time with her. And so now, okay, cat's out of the bag. We recorded just today, I should say.
Oh, yeah, this morning.
She just left us moments ago.
Yeah, and furious.
But because of the rare time difference, we decided we would do our little intro before the interview.
I
normally
can't believe you accommodated that.
Around.
I know. Yeah. I really am in
it's
shock.
It's very
okay
rare because, you know, I like to stick to my schedule. I
know. Rana, when Adam said it's going to be in the morning, I was like, oh, God, should I prep her or warn her or whatever, but it worked out.
It's a little bit like getting an interview with a much coveted Taliban warlord. You just have to meet them on their terms.
True.
Without
she knows all about it.
Without further ado, Clarissa Wood. Wait a minute.
Rana, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I already feel outnumbered because I've got two blondes,
two incredibly
intelligent people.
Yeah.
And I just sort of feel like, look, did I go to Syria, even though I'm Syrian? No, I've never been.
Yeah.
And she's really, honestly, she's gotten to beat me to every punch in life. I've got to tell you.
If you have any questions for Clarissa about how the hummus is, the supermarket hummus here versus the hummus there, or whatever whatever the things you've been dying to know for a generation.
That's always been my burning question about Syria, yeah.
I want you to tell, first of all, I guess today, the hits keep coming in the carriage house because we have risen to a level of quality now.
This is a new level, Ron.
So I don't actually know if our audience can handle this.
Because she's like a legitimate journalist.
This is a real person.
She's
an actual
real.
Person. Yeah.
She doesn't play anyone else. She's just Clarissa Ward.
Clarissa Wood, thank you for being with us today, dear.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so much for having me.
This is a really nice thing to do. Where are we finding? I know you must be exhausted. You've been on a media blitz, as they say.
I have. It's just endless self-promotion, and it's a little bit soul-destroying, but, you know.
Did you go on the 700 Club? Oh, sorry.
What's the 700 Club?
Oh, it's Pat Robertson. Do you know Pat Robertson?
Evangelical?
Yeah. He has a talk show now, so I was just wondering if you
No. I haven't been invited on yet. I wonder why. I need to rectify that.
Fair enough.
Well, and I want to show everyone, for my first question, never mind all my questions, my first question is, who took this picture, Clarissa?
Oh, so
are
that picture
kidding?
Is taken by the amazing Brigitte Lacombe, who is, one of the really great photographers, and I was a little nervous about putting a big picture of my face on the front of my book. I was like, hey, guys, I'm not Michelle Obama. Like, I don't know if I can pull this off. And I feel uncomfortable, and shouldn't we put a nice picture of some war zone? And they were like, why don't you just hush your mouth? Now we know what we're doing. So yeah,
yeah.
None of that. We're putting it on the cover.
Well, okay. We should all be so lucky to have a picture like that with a flak jacket and a popped collar.
It's a leather jacket. It's not a flak jacket.
Is
but
it
yes.
leather?
Yeah.
What kind of jacket is that? Just tell me right now. I need to know. Is it Rick Owens?
I believe it's Veda, V-E-D-A,
sure.
or Veda.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's very soft. It's perfect for
gorgeous.
Traveling.
What
Veda is the daughter in Mildred Pierce who basically tries to frame her mother for murder. It's just some context. Yeah.
She is such a little brat.
She is a big
that
time
Veda,
brat.
She did not know how good she had it. Mildred worked so hard.
In that cafe serving all those pies? You're no stranger to working hard, though. I mean, Ronna, where do we start with Clarissa? Because she, let me put it this way, where she started, or let me, I say she started in Hollywood because everyone did.
No, but here's what everyone really wants to know. Okay, it's interesting that she's been in Syria. It's interesting.
It's incredible,
that
Ronna.
It's interesting that she's a mother that's been in a war zone.
She's okay? fearless,
It's interesting
Ronna.
That she's got this book coming out. She's got a 2 or 3 month old baby. Excuse me. Okay.
Right.
It's all very interesting. But
I
what's
mean,
most
Ronna, it's
interesting.
It's brave. It's fascinating. It's incredible.
We need to talk about how Clarissa's was Uma Thurman's stand-in on Kill Bill. That's the only thing we wanted. Has anyone else asked about that?
You know, I actually thought that more people would ask about it. I think a lot of people comment on it, but they don't normally ask about it. It was a surreal experience. I'm not going to lie. A lot of fun.
I think you do an excellent job in the book of dropping some breadcrumbs. I think it's a tough line to toe when you say, instead of saying, I'm not going to confirm or deny, I feel there are moments where you've just included details in the book. But you didn't have to include them.
Clarissa,
if you didn't want to.
Did he ask
Take
you
it
on a date?
It.
Not directly, no.
Right.
To be honest, I don't even know if he said something to the producer or if the producer was just being a really good producer and taking the initiative to be like, hey, I really think maybe you could go out to dinner and
have a date with
someone who collects spittle on the sides of their mouth and then talks about video stores.
Listen,
you're not saying that. I said that. And I don't worry any of it's true.
Or if they were saying, well, he seems to be having some trouble with Uma, but if we just... if we just do coconuts with these 2 6-foot blondes for a second, maybe he'll calm down a little bit.
But he was a delight to work with, genuinely.
Except for
super nice.
Where they strangled you with a chain at the
I think it was different times.
Yes,
and that's the job.
Hammers
and
were
that's
much
the job
more
of
acceptable.
A that's right.
That's the job of a stand-in. That's what's enough of Hollywood.
It pretty much is, by the way. I mean,
oh, no, for sure.
Did you?
They
get
literally were like, "You're the first stand-in we've ever had who can read. This is amazing."
Right. And so you knew then, like, Hollywood's not for me. Take me to Iraq. Take me to Lebanon. Take me to Syria. I've had enough.
Yeah. I knew that already, and that's what they couldn't understand. They were like, what do you mean you don't want to be an actress? Like, why on earth would you be a stand-in if you don't want to be an actress?
So and out the like, gate, did you want to be a journalist?
No, so I already knew I wanted to be a journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I already knew.
Her
and,
mother's
But at the same time, I
was
like, am I not
going
to spend
dentist.
The summer in Beijing with, like, Quentin Tarantino?
That's
and Amy
true.
Thurman?
Yeah.
The internship with CNN in Moscow can wait just a couple months.
My God. And then Ron and I are planning a trip to St. Petersburg, but we're pushing it a few years back.
Yeah. Well, based on both the Corona climate and the political climate in Belarus, excuse me. Yeah.
Not a time to travel to Minsk.
And of course, everybody wants to talk about Saif Gaddafi. And my question, Brian, I don't know if you heard this one, but
she went in a limo with Gaddafi's son and he hit on you?
Yeah.
Asked you out?
Hit on her. He tried to stick his tongue down.
He just went in for the kill. He just did the lunge. And it was amazing because I have had guys try to make out with me before, believe it or not. But I've never had it where he didn't even know my name. He wasn't even like, hey, you're really pretty. It was just like, and here you are in the car and I was, but you don't know my name. You haven't spoken to me. And he just kept going, baby, baby. And I'm like, okay, baby is for me not acceptable ever under any circumstances.
Were you covering something in Libya? Is that why you were there?
No, I was actually this in was Russia. I was at a dinner party.
Yeah. But in fairness to Saif, he has been previous to the Libyan revolution or whatever you want to call it, he was very accepted in British social circles.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, they owned at least part of, or not all of, the Corinthian Hotel.
Yeah, and he had done a PhD at LSE.
He was at London School of Economics, and he was, he had.
So we're all pro Gaddafi. I'm just getting it straight.
At the time, he was kind of a big deal. It was like, you should want to make out with this brutal dictator.
Yeah. And he wasn't bad looking.
No, he wasn't. He's actually perfectly good looking. He just
disgusting.
His game needs a little work, you know?
Sure.
And he had proven himself, and he's the one that got away, though. So,
I thought you meant the one that got away.
Not for you.
She's still burning a candle for him.
Excuse me. She's married. Excuse me. She's married to a German count now. She's doing fine.
I love it. He's the but one. But yes, he is literally the one.
He's
who
literally
escaped captivity.
The one that got away. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
I just want to touch on that for a moment, and then we can move on to what the show is really about. Because this is
But then
the
I have a follow up.
Okay, great. And then you're gonna have to answer the hummus question for Brian, because this is epigenetic trauma we're talking about here. He's been wondering for generations if he could taste the hummus and cereal, what would it really taste like?
Yeah,
the hummus.
Sure.
But my question is this: so the Gaddafi regime falls, mm-hmm. and everybody flees to the desert because, of course, everything's a desert except what isn't. Mm-hmm. And he is taken into captivity. They hold a trial in absentia, a sort of show trial, but I mean, come on. And somehow or other, the father is murdered in the desert, or whatever you want to call it, taken down in the desert. And there's that horrible footage, of course, and his wig falls off and everything else. And what happens to Saif that he survives this? How does he get out? And does anyone know where
Anastasia.
He's hiding now?
Anastasia.
Totally Anastasia.
The bottom line is no one really knows.
How
no
can
one
you
really
still
knows
hide
where he
world?
Is now. No one really knows how it is that he was released. It's believed that actually at the time that I wrote the book and at the time of publication, he was living in the Emirates. Now he appears to be back in Libya. How is that even possible when he was being held by the Zintan Brigade for, you know, years? There's like a lot of very murky details. Now the Russians appear to be backing him. But no real clarity on how he got out, how on earth that was possible.
I mean, that's really an impressive feat, I have to say.
Yeah.
Either as a diplomat or as a businessman or as a something. The fact
I'm guessing someone paid a lot of money.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say that's an oil field too.
Well, sure. Rana, if you watched Unsolved Mysteries, like I told you, you would realize that a lot of people go missing and aren't found.
Well, if you don't think I have ideas about
where it's not just Gaddafi.
If you don't think of ideas about where the French father is who murdered all his kids and buried them under the stairs.
That's
the back
my favorite
garden.
One. If you want to step above Unsolved Mysteries, please read On All Fronts by Clarissa Ward. It's out now, right? It's available everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Great. The education
it's a fabulous,
of the
journalist. Fabulous read.
Fabulous
read. I have to say. I mean, this first of all, the cover is so inviting, of course, but it's a fabulous read. And the other thing that's a fabulous read is your piece that you wrote in Glamour. About being a mother. And I think we'll sort of touch on that probably with some of these questions that are coming up, but about people that are saying, oh, now that you're a mother, you're going to quit. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's the assumption, which is, it's a little... I get it. It's fine. It's a little annoying because my male colleagues who do the same work don't really get that when they become fathers. So there's definitely a double standard. But I try not to get bent out of shape about this kind of stuff. I leave that to people on Twitter,
Right. Because you're like risking your life constantly. So there's bigger fish to fry.
Sort of. Yeah.
Clarissa, my two questions are thus.
Yes.
Number one, did you ever attend a party where you had a sighting of Ghislaine Maxwell?
Great question.
It's a really good question. And I wish I could say yes, man, because I would love to have some more dirt, some more texture on who this woman is and what made her so deeply, deeply disturbed. But I have not met her.
But my second question,
what about the father, though? Do you have an opinion about whether the Robert Maxwell fell off the back of that boat or jumped or what?
Well, you know, here in the UK, it's a very big story there. It's a very big, it's always been a big story. Yeah, and
it's a mythological tale over there.
You know, the nickname for him back in the day, because he was originally from Czechoslovakia, and he had this whole issue with, you know, stealing money from pension schemes, et cetera, was the bounce check, because then he lost all his money. Get it? Like the check bounces.
And also,
got it.
Maybe
yes.
he bounced it took off a minute the back for me. Of the boat. Yeah.
My second question is Clarissa. So you acknowledge this in the book. It's certainly nothing. All I'm saying is this. You have a different life experience than I did in the way you were brought up, probably. Right? I mean, I don't know
what your experience was.
Not in the way you were brought up, but just you come from
a highly dysfunctional but loving family.
Yes, but also you're like an Upper East Side type, right?
Okay, yeah, fair.
That's sort of what I mean. I didn't mean that we come from different upbringings, just different. We were brought up in different places. You. Got mm-hmm. it. I want to know if anyone ever, because this is obviously a thing up there, your name's Clarissa. Did they ever call you Bunny or Kiki or Meow Meow or anything? Like, you know how they have those nicknames?
Why don't you tell me your mother's name?
My mother's name is Donna.
Oh. Or was it your grandmother? No, but one of them has
grandmother's name is Vivian. Granny Griggs was her nickname.
But I thought your mother had a funny nickname, like Bunny
No, my mother doesn't have any nickname.
Oh, I thought there was a nickname.
With Donna.
Were you ever a Kiki?
I wasn't a Kiki. I wasn't a Buffy. I wasn't a Muffy or a Miffy. But, you know, that's a big thing in the sort of waspy world of the Upper East Side, but also here in the UK. Like
they
no one, you know, like posh girls. And now you're going to get me going into my English accent. Because
I was
like
just say something just happened.
Yeah, I'm channeling, you know, a different side of myself. It's like being bilingual, but it's really totally useless. But yeah, all girls have names, like ridiculous names. Yeah. Like, you know.
I hope that wasn't an offensive question. I didn't mean to.
What? No, it was a good question.
Good. Okay, good.
It's a totally
names
appropriate
like,
question.
Like Binky.
Binky is actually the name of my agent.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Latte. All right. Should we get into some advice?
Let's do it.
But Brian, you should know that about Clarissa is that she was raised between two worlds, both the Upper East Side and in England. So she is she's bilingual and it's completely useless, as she says, but she can switch on a dime. I do wonder if you feel that chameleon upbringing helps you in your war correspondent.
Yeah, it does, in the sense that it means you can kind of parachute in anywhere. And like, as long as I have food, basically I'm okay. Yeah. I can get into the groove and make friends and get around.
And you speak how many languages, Clarissa?
Well, you know, there's a lot of fanfare about my abilities as a linguist, but I speak French and Italian fluently. I speak Russian and Arabic conversationally. I can understand Spanish and read the newspaper and speak a little bit because of French and Italian. And I speak basic Mandarin. And of course, English and American.
When did you pick up the Mandarin?
When I lived in Beijing.
Uh-huh. And you had to take an intensive language course?
Yeah, you had to, because you get into a taxi and it's like, it's not like, you know, in Paris where you can be like, Eiffel Tower and like, you're going to get there. Even if, you know, like if I get into a taxi in China, I need to say, well, to Sanlitun, or I need to tell them where I'm going, you know?
Wow. Where was that to?
Sanlitun, which was an area where all the bars were. Oh,
fair enough. All right, Clarissa, we're going to get into some questions.
That was all Clarissa's Mandarin, by the way.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, take me to the bar.
Hubei Bing Shui, like, can I have some ice water? Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. You want to read the first one, Rana?
Sure, I'd be delighted to.
Oh.
Hi, Ron and Brian and guest. Please don't use my name. Long story short, I was engaged for 5 years. Finally had my bridal shower this past July, and then the wedding was called off last week. Anger management issues and infidelity on his part. That's a parenthetical, by the way. Do I have to give back the gifts I received at my bridal shower? We've been using them since we received them, so it's not like I'd be giving them gifts back in a condition that they could be returned to the store in. Excuse me. How do I go about this situation? I want to be considerate to all of the friends and family that have supported us through all of this, but I'm not quite sure how. Any advice you can offer is so much appreciated.
Clarissa, what do you think? Is it, how long have they been married? They were engaged 5 years and married for a minute. Oh, no, weren't married ever.
Never married. I love the brevity of the relationship part. That's my favorite. They breeze
engaged
right past
5 years
that
and then she broke. Just to recap, she broke up like... They broke up, I should say, shortly after, right before they were going to get married.
She had her bridal shower this past July. So that's, 2 months ago.
Okay. Oh, I see.
And
okay.
Now, last week, she found out that he's been cheating on her. And she also just found out that he has anger management issues after 5 years together.
Clarissa, what do you think?
She keeps the stuff. I mean, definitely. And any good friend would be like, okay, you just got hit hard.
Yeah.
Please keep the Le Creuset.
I was just going to say the least you deserve is a Le Creuset Dutch oven after all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Keep it.
Yeah. I think you have to. I mean, also, if not any for other reason, but like you've used the stuff, who would want it? Like that, you know, in other words, it's not anything you even take back. That's just like, does the person who gave it want all that stuff? But it, beside the point, absolutely keep it. Clarissa, I think you're dead right.
Also, when you give stuff away at bridal showers and baby showers, it's like, it's not like a really thoughtful personal gift. It's like, here we go.
What's the difference
knives.
Between
a, there you
what's
go.
The difference between a bridal shower and a wedding present? Like a bridal present and a wedding present.
Oh,
is it all the same?
Oh, see, this is where I always get confused. We don't even do bridal showers in the UK.
Right.
Like I wonder what a bridal shower that is.
Well, some people do an engagement
night where we get them very, very drunk and have them make a fool of themselves.
Hen party.
Yeah.
Hen night.
Hen night.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
They have a stag night and a hen night. We call it a bachelorette, of course.
Oh, yeah, bachelorette. Yeah.
I have to tell you, there's a big difference between a stag and a hen. Do you think those... Like, because don't they call for the men? They say stag.
So true. It's not
which
fair,
is like a gorgeous
it?
Animal. And then hen night. Quack, squawk, squawk.
Yeah, the hens are brooding around waiting to sit on their eggs at the end of the night.
Exactly. It seems an unfair name. But I think, Clarissa, you're absolutely right. I don't think you can give that stuff back. Because, by the way, you're humiliated enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And anybody that would ask for it back really isn't your friend.
No, not exactly.
Yeah, and you need to keep an eye on that. I mean, of course, people are strange about money. So there are people who will absolutely behind your back talk about you and say, can you believe I spent $43 on an egg, $11 on a Dash egg cooker for her, and she had the nerve to not get married.
Right.
But those who, you have to laugh at those people in life. I mean, this, if you're going to be petty like that, but if there is a good friend that gave you something, I don't know what, if someone did
priceless.
Give you a Le Creuset, a Fabergé egg or a Le Creuset Dutch oven, whichever, you might consider being a little more generous, a little more thoughtful with them on their, if you're the kind of person, that, if you exchange gifts on their next birthday or when their big event happens or whatever it is, because none of this ever made any sense to me anyway, because it's a barter economy. This is like when you go to a bas mitzvah. You're invited to 14 bas mitzvahs. You have to buy 14 presents. You have yours. 14 people have to buy you a present, or 40 or 400, however many people you have. But I never really, and at the end of the day, it's musical chairs. So why don't you just buy your own stuff? At the end of the day, you spend the money 100%. On them, you spend it on you. Why not get what you want? I picked out my own china
piano. Do you remember that episode of Sex and the City with Tatum O'Neal and Carrie gets mad because her shoes go missing and she's like, listen, I got you stuff for your bridal shower. I got you stuff for your baby shower. Just because I'm single and don't have kids, you know, let's have a little shoe shower.
Yeah, didn't
me.
She calculate that she basically spent over like $5,000 on this person throughout their life?
Yeah, and then she like got a free pair of shoes.
This
from
is,
Tatum O'Neal. She was the guest star.
This is the Clarissa Ward content people have been waiting for.
Which the
Clarissa Ward's director's commentary on Sex and the City.
Clarissa, did you ever watch Clarissa Explains It All? I'm sure you get that all the time.
I did. She ruined my life. Thank you very much.
Because that's the only Clarissa I know.
I know, and I was named after like Anthony Eden's wife. I was named after Clarissa, the first great novel by Samuel Richardson. And then I get this, nah, nah, nah. I'm like, what?
Nah. Totally. Oh,
yeah. She's got a lot to answer for, that Melissa Joan Hart.
I do. No, it was, wasn't it? What's it? Was it Melissa?
It was Melissa. It was Melissa.
Oh, I thought it was the other one. What was the other girl's name? I can't remember. Anyway, she played another one, character on Nickelodeon, just like that. Another blonde too, anyway.
Here's my question.
Yeah, exactly. Overalls and a pencil and a diary.
Yeah.
Here's my other question to you. What does Clarissa Wood watch when she wants to decompress? What is on Clarissa Wood's either Netflix queue or whatever it is? But I'm curious, obviously, it is interesting. Your life switches between two very different paces.
Yeah.
And so obviously you're comfortable with that duality, which means it wouldn't be beyond the pale to me that you could be in Syria covering, you know, a mass grave and then go home and watch an episode of Sex and the City to decompress.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just curious, either what's gotten you through in certain instances,
and I want to know the dregs. I want to know that real trash.
Brian's been very into game shows.
Okay, well, I have a confession to make. I started watching a show recently that then my husband put. He was like, "I'm going to leave you if you keep watching it." And
Geordie Shore.
I've watched plenty of Geordie Shore. That's not so bad. This is even worse because it's like deeply exploitative. They're basically put two people who've never seen each other. It's Australian.
Married at First Sight.
Thank you.
Obsessed.
Yeah. Oh,
obsessed. And they're airing Married at First Sight Australia in the US now.
Because it's so good.
I guess I haven't seen the new one, the Australian one, but it's like, I guess it's so good they brought it here. Yeah.
Oh my, and I would be like furiously Googling like how many of these couples actually stay together. And like starting to like talk with an Australian accent because I feel like so invested in the characters.
Yeah.
And yeah, anyway, my husband was like, time out. We are not watching this anymore.
That's a pretty good one though. I mean, that's a good decompressor.
That's like a breastfeeding excuse, isn't it? Yes. I have to watch this while I'm breastfeeding. I have to just pick something I can watch 25 minutes of at a time.
Exactly.
That's the whole idea when you're breastfeeding is you just watch garbage and you say, well, this is the only thing I can't pay attention to a narrative show while I'm doing this. So
yeah,
I have to watch this. I don't have a choice.
I love that. Yeah. I love that show.
That's
it's
all the excuses
garbage.
When
you
think you're
saying I love breastfeeding. Yeah. And I was like,
I love it. I really just do. I can't, I mean, I go up to women and I say, can I shake your hand?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have this is a very personal question, but do you have a limit on that so that you're able to go back to work? Do you have a number like if I do this for 32 days, my son will be attached and then I can go to Syria for 2 weeks?
Okay. So for me, it's not about like
for some people, it's about bonding,
going and traveling. No, we're bonded. Like we get along fabulously. He's almost 3 months. It is really stressful. And he's built like a sumo wrestler. So like he's permanently hungry. So I'm like, buddy, when
too
we get
much.
To 3 months.
Yeah. 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah.
Gave you a good start. And then you gonna just start.
You got all the enzymes and the antibodies. And now you can go eat a steak on your own.
And you know, the whole breastfeeding obsession, honestly, I think breastfeeding is great. I'm not knocking it. But when you've been to places where, like, you know, women would cut off their right arm to give their kid formula, it gives you a slightly different perspective on the whole kind of breastfeeding mafia who, like, go up to people who are bottle feeding their babies in playgrounds and say,
those
like,
are very
child abuse.
Very first world problems.
But all that said, Clarissa,
it's like organic fruit. I'm like, okay, everybody, pipe down.
Agreed. But I have to be honest with you. All that said, he will never forgive you for this. Ever.
And also, I only buy organic fruit, so I'm a total hypocrite.
No, same, like, except for citrus. Sometimes I'll be like, look, you're not, it doesn't actually even matter because it has this crust or whatever, rind.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really peel. So it doesn't really.
Does your orange have a crust?
That's how often
what
I eat oranges.
What kind of citrus are you eating?
Only the crustiest.
There
for
are
me.
Certain foods that I protected. A tomato, you want an organic tomato.
Something with a thin skin of berry, you probably want an organic berry. That's
exactly.
Right.
Anything with a thin skin.
Yeah.
Okay. But also then there's all those women who can't breastfeed. So there's that.
Exactly. And we put way too much inverted shaming,
which totally. Everybody, whenever you can't, whenever you're feeling guilty about something, always think about someone that actually can't do it.
Yeah.
And realize it's just like a river that runs down a mountain. It finds its way.
Yeah. 100%. That's wise, Ron.
I can't run. He's crying. I can't run to answer his call. What if I didn't have any legs? Would he love me any less?
Yeah.
That's what you thought when you were not breastfeeding, Ronan?
No, what I thought was I have a tennis game at 2:30. All right.
Okay.
Brian, you read the next one.
Hello, well, Ronan. Happy
mom, happy son. That's what I said. 100%. Okay.
Very nice. That is the most important. Hello, Rana, Brian, and esteemed guest, Clarissa. I work in agriculture, and due to harvest, this is the busiest time of the year for my coworkers and I.
Oh.
It requires
speaking of crusty oranges.
That's right.
Yeah.
It requires working 10 to 12 hour days, 6 to 7 days a week with pretty strenuous activity. Because of the pandemic, we've all been wearing face masks, which I'm sure you can imagine can become pretty irritating for the skin. Also, because we are located on the West Coast, we've been working in environments with high levels of smoke and air particulate.
Yeah.
It sounds awful.
Do you know of any, I agree, do you know of any
from face? From a woman that worked in Beijing. Come on.
That's true. That's true.
It is a 560 on any day of the week.
I mean, she's been to like Damascus and Aleppo and everywhere else. Yeah. Do you know of any face mask material or design that minimizes the amount of moisture that gets trapped? If not, are there skincare products that you would recommend to address prolonged mask wearing or smoke exposure? Any advice you can give would be greatly appreciated so we can stay as safe. So we can stay as safe and looking fabulous as you. Kiss, kiss, Rebecca.
Okay. Now this is a question. The first part of the question is, Rebecca, you know what? Don't bother me with your Googles, okay? Find the right mask. Find you either the one that has the valve or the other one, or just make sure it has the N95 or KN95 lining.
For the difference, smoke.
The difference being N95 and N95, my understanding is the only difference is that one is certified for medical use, the other isn't, but it's essentially the same material.
Watch your words, because Clarissa, I believe, is anti-mask.
She's gonna
just tread lightly.
She's going to explain it all.
She's trying to get me killed.
No, she is not.
I'm going to get death threats. I love masks.
She loves them.
But this goes to the very, I think this is a great question for Clarissa. And actually, it's touched upon in the glamour piece, excuse me. But my question is, again, Clarissa is a woman that lives between two worlds. So, Clarissa, not only that, you're on camera, and we can pretend you don't know what you're wearing when you're on camera, but I think we all know you probably have your battlefield pants tailored before you leave for Syria. You're a woman that was raised a certain way. You know the value of the right white t-shirt, the right white blouse, a popped collar, a Veda motorcycle jacket that's also packable. Whatever,
but you want to know what, Ronna, she also has the brilliance to make it look like, oh, this, I just threw it on today.
Of course, that is the job, okay? Yeah.
That's you want, the job?
You want them to tune in again? What do you think, Dan Rapp? That's why Morley Safer had to go to 60 Minutes, because he never had the right outfit. And he didn't have the look. And Clarissa has the whole package. Mm. So here's my question to you. What do you do for your skin, and what do you think? What are your priorities? Because you do find yourself. I mean, even what is? I can't remember which one you're talking about. I think when you're in with the Taliban, when you go with
and the women and the face cream, right?
But that's in the article. But also the men. I mean, this is. I've been thinking about this quite a bit actually during Corona, etc. It's very funny. I'm curious what you think about this. But do we have 7 hours now? But. I'm very interested in the fact that there was all that anti-hijab legislation in France, and now it's in France and Switzerland, and then it was sort of moving across Europe, and now everybody has to wear a face mask. So everyone
basically,
is completely exposed as being racist, because you can wear a face mask when you want to or when you need it, but not when you want to or you need it.
Yeah. Not if it's for religious reasons.
Yeah. So in any event, my question is this. You're in the desert, you're wrapping something over your face, you're unwrapping it, but you have to worry about your skin, so you must have a couple of products or a couple of tips.
I want to hear about this face cream.
I wonder if it was La Mer, because it was
No, it's not La Mer. It's called you know, I always forget the name of it. It's called QMS, I think. It's I'm like it's double checking on
it's
Google.
It's a German company. QMS.
It's a German company.
Yeah.
Oh, you've heard of it. Okay, great. I got it right. So it was a trauma surgeon who designed this like cream for like incredibly sensitive skin. I'm very fussy about it. I don't, La Mer for me, it's too rich.
Too thick.
I don't, too thick, too unctuous.
So, and also it's too heavy for you to carry in your little sack.
And it's too heavy, you know? Yeah. So I love the QMS, the very simple 24-hour cream. I put it on at night. During the day, I wear Boots, which is the famous British pharmacy hit.
Oh, yeah.
Boots, SPF 15, which I know is not high enough, but like I kind of want to get a little bit of a color, you know? So, yeah.
And so do you carry a cleanser or a wipe or what is your...
So you always have to go everywhere with wet wipes, right? Yeah. Because like sometimes obviously baths and showers are not... Well, baths are definitely not happening, but sometimes showers are not happening as well. So wet wipes are how you stay not smelly.
Clean.
And then I use a face wash called Simple, which is pretty much what it sounds like. It's very cheap. It's very simple, but it's nice. It doesn't smell. I don't like smelly things.
Yeah. Yeah, nor do I. I have very specific scents that I'm all right with. It's mostly a citrus or a eucalyptus or something in that family. Mm. Occasionally a lavender.
Do you like bath bombs, Clarissa?
I never really got into bath bombs because I use lavender oil in the bath.
Oh, okay. So
that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Clarissa will understand because she lives in the UK that there is nothing more disgusting than walking by a Lush store on the high street.
Literally, no one's ever said that to me. And I feel like you are now my spirit animal because every time I pass it, I'm like,
not only the smell, but the fact that they're serving that soap like fudge.
They cut off a piece for you. It's so just
fresh.
Slice
you a piece of soap like fudge.
It's no, fresh, Rana.
And it's so overpowering.
It's fresh, Rana.
It is.
Absolutely disgusting.
Well,
so
I'm
outnumbered
again.
QMS is your go-to. QMS 24 hour.
Yeah, that's my go-to. Exactly. Yeah.
But there is this. And then do you get a facial the second you get back to London?
I should probably get more facials. No, I get them occasionally, but not a huge amount.
Clarissa is one of these women, Brian, who Europe has that inherited the European idea of you just give a little information. So when people say when people say you look great, you say, "Oh, I got 11 hours last night and slept that much in 3 months."
But really, she got a face transplant.
Just got back from France where she had a stem cell treatment and she was, you know, in a hospital for 3 weeks. Yeah,
got it.
Covered in burn wrappings and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, If you didn't learn that from your mother, you didn't learn it from your English grandmother because English women don't take care of the skin.
No, my mother is no
stranger.
But
your mother knew what
she was doing. She's American. She knows where it's at, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's looked the same age for a long time.
Good for her.
I saw her on your Instagram. She's very cute.
She is. She is.
Now, is she and your father together again?
They are, but
are they living together again?
They live together, but they have separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
But at a certain
point, just kind of honest. You know, when you're in your 70s, it's like, are we really still knocking the boots? And, you know, whoever is in their 70s, power to you. But like,
I'm kind of excited for my 70s
to not have to do that anymore.
These are people also, that took like, a 30-year interval in their marriage.
Good for them.
Yes,
everyone needs a break every now and then.
They had a break and there were like other people on the scene for a while, but it was sort of understood that they were secondary.
That's great. Cool.
I think that
it was
perfect.
An unusual setup, but you know what? With kids, what's amazing is like, as long as people are not like fighting and hating each other, kids are just like, whatever.
Also, I have to say at a certain age, what could be better? What could ever be better than a wonderful night's sleep, which you can get by yourself in your own room? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell me about it. I'm a widow. It's one of the silver linings.
You're a widow, but you're not alone, Rana.
One of the silver lines. Well, Mr. Cleveland's not allowed to sleep.
I'm talking about me, Rana.
Silver linings.
Oh, absolutely. That, Clarissa. The other was that he used to leave his orange juice glass. He'd drink orange juice all day, make him a fresh squeezed orange juice, a grapefruit juice, depending on his mood and depending on the season. And he would drink it all day. And you know when the pulp dries on the side of the glass? Like I was put on this planet to wipe pulp out of a glass. And so I don't miss that. I don't miss that at all. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Rana and Brian and guest. I love the show and think you two offer good advice, which is why I'm writing. Good advice. Okay. Well, thanks for the endorsement.
They really put themselves out
there.
They
really should find somebody else if we're only giving good advice. I'm 49, happily married with a 14-year-old son. I work in IT, which is where I need some help. Last month, I left the only job I have ever really enjoyed doing, IT for my local school district. It was low pay, $29,000, but I'm in rural Georgia and my wife is a teacher, so we were doing okay. Anyway, I like the people and fixing computers for the kids and teachers made me feel like I was part of the solution, not the problem. Plus, I got 4 to 5 weeks of time off before I took one personal vacation, so that's nice. I only looked for a new job one day, and lo and behold, I got it. I was just kind of testing the waters. I'm in a new job now at $38,000, but it is an hour away and it is a two-person department, me and my boss. He is a right-wing nutcase who says racist and transphobic things. My son was born a girl, so that bothers me. On top of that, the job is for a small city and it is super boring. I sit at my desk all day as opposed to actually fixing things and helping people. I've made a pro-con list and the only thing that is a pro for the new job is more money. Is that enough? I hate my new job, my new boss, and the drive, which makes me go to bed earlier and get up earlier. I can get my old job back probably, and in fact have looked into it. But I'm afraid my wife will be upset, disappointed, or angry that I have given up the extra money that we now have plans for. Should I get my old job back? I don't want to be miserable all the time, and I definitely don't want to start to resent my wife due to my dumb decision. She is also worried about both of us working in the school system during COVID, which is a concern, I guess. I don't want her to be pissed about my giving up a nice raise or feel like I'm not giving my new job a chance, but I don't want to be unhappy and kicking myself every day for making a bad decision. But I already do that, so ... Please help me, Rana and Brian. Thanks for any help. He signed it, but I'm not going to say his name because I'm not sure he thought about that.
Clarissa?
I mean, look, my instinct is like, go back to your old job, like be happy, be whole. But obviously you got to talk about it with your wife. It has to be a decision that the two of you make together and come to naturally. Otherwise it's going to create friction. But maybe that sounds a little bit like, I don't know, Pollyanna-ish to just say, forget all that extra money. But it seems like if you're unhappy and you were doing okay before, then, but that's just me.
I think you're right about, don't like catch your wife up to speed on where you're at. I don't know if you've had a really open, honest conversation about what this job is doing to you and how unhappy you are. And you don't have to say, and I already checked and da 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 da, because then it sort of gets like, well, why didn't we talk about this together? But I think you just sort of just talk to your wife, maybe a little bit, you know, about how it's making you feel and the impact it's having on, I don't know, your outlook, your life, your livelihood. Because like a 30, 40% raise in income is a big raise. I mean, that is like, that's not nothing. But I don't know. I mean, I would just rather be really happy and create that sort of environment for my son and my family than being miserable. I just don't think I could do it.
You also say that you have a 4 to 5 week vacation. So maybe there is a situation, I don't know. I mean, you do IT. I assume you could do that for other people. You don't have to do it. You know, not just, you got a job in a minute when you looked for another job. I wonder if there is some sort of a freelance project or a something that you could take on as during that vacation time, not for the 5 weeks, but maybe you do a week at this company because they need blank, or maybe there's a employment agency for people with your skill set. If the extra money is really that important to the family, then why not sacrifice a week or two of your 5 week vacation, which in the UK is standard 6 weeks or whatever it is, but in America, that's a very long vacation and a very luxurious benefit to have, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. But if the family is really worried about money, maybe there is a way that you could take on a little side project, something that you don't become overly invested in, but that might be kind of fun. Maybe you could do IT for a summer camp, or maybe the school system. Everything is changing so much now. I know you're worried about the school system, but there's so much work from home, Zooming and this and that with COVID. Maybe there's an extra project that you could either do for the school system in the next town, or, you know, maybe there's something with somebody. You just have to do a little digging if the money is a really big, big concern. But there is no worse feeling than staying in a job you hate.
Yeah.
And knowing in your bones that it's not right. This doesn't seem to be a case of I didn't give it a shot. I mean, Clarissa, think back to being Uma Thurman's stand-in.
I was actually thinking of being on the overnight assignment desk at Fox News.
Which yes. Was, well, that's actually, yeah, no, that's a more.
That is the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something you felt you had to do for your career. It did sound like a miserable time.
It was miserable. It was miserable. I put on a lot of weight. I had like thyroid issues.
Impossible.
It was awful.
But it does take that kind of stress, really does pile up and take a toll on your body. And it also makes it impossible for you to enjoy your time with your family.
Yeah.
So even though you're part of this family unit, you're still a person. And you have to absolutely, you know, you have to answer to yourself for how you treat yourself on a daily basis too. And I'm not saying ignore whatever your wife says. I think you two are both dead on. Talk to your wife.
But is this like a West Coast? I'm going to say something, and it's actually a question for you two, because I don't know if it's like West Coast bubble mode or something. Would you think this person might enjoy their job any better if they said something to their boss? Maybe would feel more empowered there or something?
Like
just to be
what?
Like,
you're
it
racist?
Makes me uncomfortable. The next time it happens, it makes me uncomfortable when you say stuff like that. But I think he likes, just really dislikes this job even more than the boss, right?
I mean, the boss does sound pretty obnoxious.
Yes, he does. And I don't know if the writer might, I don't know if there's something where like, okay, well,
there's only two.
Now that I've settled with the boss, I don't know.
There's only two people in the department. This guy gets a real charge out of helping little kids, being the guy at the school.
Right.
Here comes Mr. Computer Guy. He has a chocolate in his pocket, whatever.
Well, that's creepy, Ron.
You know,
I was about to say.
That's inappropriate.
Why? Take it there.
But it's a school environment. And you know how there's your favorite gym teacher, your favorite computer teacher.
No, that
your
doesn't exist. No one had a favorite gym teacher.
Well, the people that didn't mind gym did, Brian.
That's true, I guess.
Not the ones that was glued to the back wall hoping not to be chosen for dodgeball.
Oh, and
whatever.
Forging my mother's signature every chance I got. Brian has arthritis today.
I think you need to find a way to be happy, because otherwise it's going to seep into the mid. I mean, I got sad reading the letter. You sound like you're in a really tough way.
And by the way, there's no bigger blessing than loving your job. Like the fact that you were in a job you loved is
very rare.
Major.
100%.
It doesn't happen. That does not happen very often. So if you loved that job, don't. Yeah.
Do it.
I mean,
yeah.
There are very few that like that. So
did you ever have any boyfriends, Clarissa, before the count who,
Yeah.
who wanted you to? No, I don't mean.
Oh,
boy. Oh, really, Clarissa? You seem like the kind of woman that went through life, never had a boyfriend, and then married a German count. That's what you seem like to me. My question is, I won't ask any questions about where his family was during the war. It's water under the bridge, as far as I'm concerned. But my question is this. They've done a great job in Germany with educating the next generation. My question is this. Did you ever have any boyfriends or even friends who tried to hold you back from doing the job that you wanted to do?
Yeah, I did. I had one boyfriend.
Didn't appreciate how happy you were doing that.
I mean, he loved me very much, but, you know, it takes a really strong man to be like, okay, babe, no, that's all right. You go off and gallivant around war zones and, you know, I'll be in Starbucks when you get back. I mean, that's not easy for a lot of men. So I did have a boyfriend who was like, you know what, this is not really my bag, so...
But you're in a relationship now with someone who understands that you love your job, loves your job, and wants you to be happy. And also that there are sacrifices inherent in you having that job.
Mm-hmm. No, which, and he's also, you know, my husband is so laid back. He's like horizontal. The first thing he said to me, I met him at this dinner in Moscow, and I was like, he's like, what do you do? And I was like, well, I go to Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm a journalist and da-da. And he just goes, I think war correspondents are egomaniacs. And I was like, wow, there is a first time for everything. I mean, that is some strong game.
Did you want to throw yourself in front of the train?
No, I wanted to throw myself in front of him because, of course, I have that like thing that so many women have where I'm like, oh, my God, you're kind of mean to me right now. And I'm so into that.
Sure.
Maybe that sounds a bit weird.
No,
but
I mean, that's everybody, I think.
Yeah, right?
I don't think it's just – I think also when you're a person like Brian and I, top of our field, okay, incredibly strong personalities, you know, love what we do, and no one could stop us from doing it. But you just want somebody, you're an in charge person all the time. It's nice when somebody pushes back on you.
Yes.
Because that's very unusual, or that they have the fortitude to do that as opposed to just teasing, but somebody that really is a formidable person on their own.
Yeah. And I would say like the nice thing about my husband is like 90% of the time, I'm kind of in charge, which is good. But then the 10% where he's like, hold on, it's like, okay.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like that is your 10% and it's a very important 10%.
That's
but the stuff
how it was
of like,
Bob
we have to go and see my friend today and I promised you would come and like you will, you know, like that's my 90%. And also I'm going to Syria and I'm pregnant, but.
Sure. I'd love to see that rom-com. I'm going to Syria and I'm pregnant. We have one last question. It's very quick though.
Okay.
And it's London specific. Hi, Ron and Brian. Thanks for all the laughs you've both given me over the years. I have a question that I can already hear Ronna scolding me for, but she's the only authority I trust on this matter. And Clarissa. How often should I be cleaning my towels and bed sheets? I've asked multiple friends and done Google searches, but the answers vary greatly from the highly impractical.
Clarissa just recoiled. People can't see that because they may not see this part of the video. She recoiled. Yeah.
But the answers vary greatly from the highly impractical to the downright disgusting. Asked friends, multiple friends, and Google searches. Before you ask, yes, I'm a 28-year-old man. Ronna's my favorite age.
Of course.
They're like the least hygienic people out there, 28-year-old men. You know, I mean, second only to college
we
kids.
We go so hard on that age group on the show, just so you know.
Men specifically. Men that they're the kind of men that think that because they shower in the bathroom is clean. Because they go in and get
water.
They go in and get clean, so then that bathroom must be clean. And meanwhile, they're walking through a path of dust.
Oh, get ready, Ronna!
Spotted hair and skin, and that's the only clean piece to the bathroom is their pants.
Well, listen to what they say
between the shower and the door.
They say, before you ask, yes, I'm a 28-year-old man, and yes, my bathroom probably isn't as clean as I think it is.
Well, then it's worse than you think it is.
But I am generally a clean and tidy person.
I just need your
guidance.
No, you take a shower. That's all that means.
Please
help. And you don't leave dishes in the sink. Yeah.
With love, laundering in London.
Now, this is a good one. For P.S., this is the guy that had the Coco Chanel flatmate when we did
I didn't read the PS. Okay, sorry. PS, I was the person at the Throwing Shade live show in London who asked about my flatmate who was decorating the flat with paintings of cats dressed as Coco Chanel. I've since moved out on my own to a cute, cozy canal boat beside Kew Gardens.
Oh.
He found a new flatmate with similar tastes, and now their whole flat looks like a fancy brothel in Versailles. We're both much happier now.
Living on a canal boat.
And not washing your laundry.
Oh, you may as well.
They're very damp, those boats.
Very damp and dank and like.
And low ceilings. This guy must be 4'11 and a half. This is where the question comes from.
Well, couldn't he just get some water from the canal and toss it in the bathroom?
I think he's already doing that. Yeah. I think he's showering in a bucket. But what the real issue is he doesn't want to go to the laundromat because he doesn't have a washing machine. Which I will say this, anytime I'm in London for an extended period of time and I live in London, meaning I'm living there for an extended period of time. And Clarissa either will understand this, or I will hope to God that her American genes have taken over and she has said to the people at John Lewis or Dixon's or wherever else, I will take a washer and a dryer. As opposed to, because every, for some goddamn reason,
washer dryer thing,
they have the built-in washer and dryer together. You are
it's so strange.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Your whole life is putting in a load of laundry and trying to time when you come home to put on the dryer so that your clothes are dry and not moldy 48 hours after you started the laundry. Yeah.
But also,
you're married to a German, so you probably have a gorgeous Mila set up.
And I have an American mother, so yes. I'm like the only person in London who has air conditioning.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Convenience can matter.
So this guy doesn't want to go to the laundromat. That's all this is.
Who does, though? I mean, it has to be once a week, right?
It's got to be once a week. Thank you. That's what I was going to say, but then I was like, maybe that's like really filthy.
Minimum.
But no.
I don't know what I would do, though, if I had to go to a laundromat. If I would maybe cheat that, I don't know. But I think it's got
to
be every week.
No,
you would just have more
extra
pairs of sheets.
That's true.
You get what I mean?
That's true.
And you'd cycle them out. And then maybe once every 2 weeks, you'd go and just like wash a ton of sheets.
You're right.
Pairs of sheets, she says.
Yeah, that's true, though. I guess you would have like, you know, a few pairs and or however you
sets. A set of sheets.
Sets. A few sets.
Did I say pairs? That's so weird.
All the crap I took for Krusty and you said pair.
Now you're even again. Here's my question, though. Again, Clarissa, the duality between two worlds.
Mm.
My guess is if you're in Syria, you're lucky to get a mattress, let alone a sheet.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're in London, if the cleaning lady doesn't have the bed set like it's a hotel, you're furious. Is that correct?
I mean, I am not one to ever get furious. And actually, even when I'm in Syria, what I travel with is a sleeping bag liner. Which is like, it's like a sleeping bag, but it's made of a sheet. So, and you like hop in it like a sack.
Oh, and you just get in that so you don't get body lice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Rana, this is the reality of life in a war zone. You're right.
And that is no judgment on the people that are living there and their hygiene. That is what happens when there is not just a medical pandemic, but you know, war and displacement and refugees. And
sheet washing takes a backseat.
Yeah, your dignity is eroded on a daily basis. And those little things that you take advantage of in your daily life. But this guy's not living in a war zone on Kew Gardens.
Well, can't he just like put some Dove soap in the canal and throw his sheets in and then dry them on the edge of the boat?
That would make him the cleanest person on the canal, by the way. But and I believe they call it, what do they call it, a long boat when you go through the canal locks? It's a little bit like the Belmont badge I wanted to take you on in France, Brian, except it's a little nicer. But here's the thing. You need to start fetishizing the trip to the laundromat. So think of the laundromat like you would think of going on an airplane, at least on an airplane before they had Wi-Fi, which was fabulous.
Or for him, maybe going on Grindr.
It would be, or maybe it's that. But it would be the only time you had to yourself that no one could get a hold of you. So you would bring, you'd buy all of your magazines, you'd bring your books, you'd bring, excuse me, On All Fronts by Clarissa Wood.
Yep.
And you would pick your thing that you were going to read or your New Yorker and your sandwich, whatever it is, and take that to the laundromat with you. Enjoy that time and start to say to myself, I love going to the laundromat. That's when I read all my articles and I get this little, you know, I get myself a flapjack or something disgusting from the corner store. You know, nothing worse than
and
a flapjack.
And so much potential for a meet cute. I mean, you can meet the man of your dreams there.
Yeah, dress up a little bit. Yeah. But if the meet cute finds out that you're not really doing your laundry.
Yeah, that you don't want to take him back to a badly laundered boat.
Once a week minimum, get yourself a couple of extra pairs of sheets. Okay.
That's a good idea. And then you can minimize your trips.
Yeah. And there's nothing like a hot, fluffy towel. I mean, there just isn't.
Yeah. You're making me want to go take a bath.
Me too. Sounds so luxurious.
Okay. So Clarissa, we're going to recap. Mm. And you're going to pick. It's just a feeling. It doesn't have
it's
to
just
be
a feeling,
who's
Rana.
The most desperate, who's this, who's that. It's just a feeling, Clarissa. Mm-hmm. And it's your book. So you know. You really know who deserves this book.
So are we going to give a book to?
Yeah.
Returning gifts from a wedding.
Also
broken engagement, yeah. Returning gifts. Yeah. Are we going to give the gift to working out in the fields, skincare recommendations? Are we going to give the gift to IT man? Or are we going to give the gift to sheets?
You know, I'm going to say I want to give it to working in the fields and worried about skin and health and lungs and
I think that's great.
Agricultural worker gets it.
I think what I would say to the IT man is read this and then realize how great your life is.
Yeah, I would say that to all of them.
That's true. No, I'm with you there.
It's funny. This is a conflict. I'm very conflicted this week because
I'm also conflicted. I love them all. They had all really great, thoughtful questions.
Well, let's be honest. The first one has so many gifts already.
Yeah, she's got a Le Creuset. She doesn't need my book.
She can buy it. But
it's true. Yes. On all
fronts, true. It's true. She can buy the book. Any of them could. Well, okay. Two things. One is, first one could benefit from it because I think it's also really, in addition to being deeply fascinating and a real, lens in on a very different kind of life and a very important kind of perspective that is then brought into our homes.
Are you talking about On All Fronts by Clarissa Ward?
I am talking about On All Fronts, the new book by Clarissa Ward out now. But in addition to being that, it's also very much the story of a woman who knows what she wants and is self-possessed and doesn't apologize for that. And I think that we're joking about rom-coms, but I think that's an important kind of, and it's not strident about it. It just happens to be who you are and what your story is. And so I think that would be a great thing for this woman to read if she wants to trade in one of her pots and pans for an Amazon certificate. So I would really highly recommend she buy the book. I would recommend everybody buy the book. I loved reading the book.
Thank you.
I really would love to send, I think the migrant worker, terrific. I think she's a woman who's doing a different kind of thing. And also that maybe she'll get a few tips on how to be, take care of herself. So we can give it to her because she has the hottest situation. But I sort of also want to send a copy to the guy who is switching jobs.
Because the IT worker. Yeah. Because I mean, my really first instinct was the IT worker. And then I'm like, but that's the obvious one,
Yeah.
They're all very deserving.
Everybody those should get a copy.
They all deserve it.
But I'm going to send him a copy and I'm going
to tell them to reach out to me on social media and I'll send them all books.
No. Sweet. We are sending the books, dear. We're buying the book to support the book.
Are that's we sending more idea. Than one, Rana?
Brian was sending 25 books out.
Who are we sending a book? Did we decide who we're sending this book to?
No, so here's who we're sending the book to. We're going to send the book to the worker and to the IT guy. But to the worker, I'm also going to send from my personal collection one of those CO masks that I happen to have an extra of. That's so she can do a little face mask if she wants to after the...
there are still some bath bombs in that back bedroom if you want to give her one of
those. I'll take a look. I'll have a look. I'd love to get rid of them, but I wouldn't want my name attached to them in any way. That's the only dilemma. And then we're going to give away a couple copies of the book on Instagram. So this is another one of our watch and wins. So people scratch and sniff, or listen and learn, or whatever you want to call it. But look, to go to our Instagram page. We're going to have a giveaway for the book, and you'll answer a question from something we discussed in the episode.
Ronnie, forgiving.
It won't be how long does Clarissa Ward breastfeed for before she weans her children.
Ronna, who's going to pay for all those books?
Don't worry.
Is it going to be out of your fund or
it'll be out of the community fund.
Or actually, you still owe me, I think, for the things I brought you.
I'm sure I do. For the beefsteak tomatoes. Brian bought me some beefsteak tomatoes at the beginning of quarantine that I never asked for, and he keeps sending me a Venmo request.
Well, we're even, I think, probably after this. Yeah. I think you've worked it off.
So, Clarissa, what we do now, but I know you're very busy and you have a family and it's evening in London where you are.
Yeah, I can hear my baby is starting to cry.
Then we'll let you go. Or what do you want to do, Rana?
Well, he should learn to comfort himself.
You know what, Rana? He's 3 months old.
what we do is we read a cliffhanger and then we answer it on our Patreon show.
All but, right, read a cliffhanger. It's fine.
Are you sure?
He's no, fine.
But, no, his but truly, truly.
It's good for his father. They're bonding. It's okay. Good.
Okay. All right. So
sounds good to me.
I'll read the cliffhanger briefly. And we just want to tell people also the Kiss Kiss mug is in stores, podswag.com/AskRana.
It certainly of course. Is.
And Clarissa, I think we may have sent you some coffee from our Ask Rana coffee collection. Oh, loved collection.
It. We're drinking it like it's going out of style.
Oh, yeah. Good.
It, it made it to London that fast?
Yeah. Bixby's, right? Is that
yes? Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
Some good coffee. Thank you very much.
Now, Rana, has your husband?
Rana,
yeah.
Who paid
yeah.
for that?
That Bixby paid for that, okay. dear. Don't worry. Okay. Have you ever been to a place called Heems in Braunschweig? A coffee store called Heems in Braunschweig?
Are you speaking English right now?
That's a very specific question.
I'm speaking German.
Also, where is Braunschweig? Oh, you're talking about Germany.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Braunschweig? You can't hear me. Have you ever been to Braunschweig?
Braunschweig.
Yeah.
Yes,
he's been
has
there.
He been
they have
to
a coffee, apparently.
Has he been to a coffee place called Heems, H-E-I-M-S?
Have you been to Heems? Okay, he's suddenly seeing what's happening and like the ring light is on and like and he's like looking very
tell
petrified.
Him not to worry, this isn't a real
show. He's backing
show.
Away from the door.
Tell him not to worry, it's not a real show. No one will ever see or hear his voice. This isn't CNN right now. This is RNN.
That could have been the 3 month old for all we
the
know.
The Rana News Network. Someone wrote to us and said the best cup of coffee they've ever had was in Braunschweig at a place called Heems, H-E-I-M-S, and he used to own a coffee shop. And so he loved our coffee, but the best cup of coffee he ever had okay. was at that place.
Well,
so
if I'm ever in
if your car breaks down in Braunschweig, look for that
and
coffee
Heems.
Shop.
And Heems.
That's right.
You joke, but she'll remember.
I will.
Three now years will, from now, like, we'll get an email from her that. Saying, you know what? I know, our car broke down. I know a good coffee shop.
Yes.
Okay.
She was like, I was parachuting through the skies of Europe the other day, and I decided to land right in Braunschweig to try that cup
her
of coffee.
Her husband's German. They could be driving.
Oh, that's true. She does have a German.
They could be driving to Sylt for all I know. They
that's
don't,
true.
I don't know
you,
what they're
you
doing.
You got a lot of German yeah. knowledge, Rana. Well, I'm impressed.
Now, well, they tried to kill her.
Well, not me. We were
your family.
Here. No, we
you have to know your enemy pretty well.
No, that was the pogroms. Let's be fair.
I know, you're right. That's Russia.
Let's
you're
be
right.
fair.
That was Russia.
Yeah.
You're right.
Let's call them as we see them. Okay.
Fair enough.
Dear Rana, Brian, and guest, I'm writing today for some advice on dealing with a neighbor. My roommate and I live in Brooklyn, and are fortunate enough to have a balcony / patio, which has been a godsend these past few months. We've loved being able to relax in our outdoor space during quarantine and even purchased an outdoor heater so we can try to squeeze a few more months of use out of it before winter. Here's the problem. A tenant recently moved into the apartment downstairs and she stinks, literally. She's the kind of smoker who tries to cover up the stench of tobacco through the liberal use of air fresheners. Mm-hmm. Never heard of Febreze, I guess. Because she keeps her bedroom windows open at all times, our patio now constantly smells like stale cigarettes mixed with Febreze.
She smokes in her bedroom. That's a red line.
That's
Morley Safer. He almost burnt the house down twice, falling asleep with a cigarette in his mouth. I cannot overstate how strong and nauseating this smell is. My roommate and I have pretty much stopped using our patio because it's so overpowering. The smoking tenant in question has a lovely, spacious backyard that we have never seen her use. But if she could smoke out there, we think it would help. The layout of our building is such that any smell coming from her bedroom window gets trapped on our patio. But air from her backyard is more open and wafts away. I know this is a difficult time for everyone.
But mostly you.
and people need the stress outlets. For some people, that outlet may be relaxing in bed with a cigarette. So is it unreasonable for me to ask if she can close her window and start smoking outside? Spending time in fresh air on my patio has really been getting me through all this craziness, and I miss it a lot. Any guidance would be greatly appreciated. Love the show and the advice. Keep up the great work. Great work. Best. Darcy. From 90 Day Fiancé?
Maybe.
Spelled differently, I think.
Or Stacy posing as Darcy.
Yeah. All right. That's our cliffhanger.
Clarissa, On All Fronts by Clarissa Ward. Are you on socials?
Yes, must be. At yeah. Clarissa Ward CNN on Instagram and at Clarissa Ward on Twitter. I'm fabulous. More active on Instagram though.
Follow
Clarissa. Thank you so much for joining us.
What a delight.
This was such a pleasure, honestly. I just feel like it was like hanging out with friends. It was really nice.
And I know you had a very long week, and we appreciate you taking the time. But the book is really, really fabulous. I urge people to check it out. They can buy it wherever books are sold, of course. Sure. Who's reading your audiobook? Do you read it?
I read it.
Which accent did you do?
I mostly went with American, but sometimes when I'm talking about like my granny Greek,
sure,
impossible to talk about her and have an American accent.
There are certain words that slip. You're one of the rare half Americans that's able to say the word cheers without it sounding terrible.
Cheers.
Yeah. It's a word Americans can't do it.
What do they do?
They always say cheers. It sounds cheers. Terrible.
Yeah.
Instead of you having a drink with someone, you want to say cheers.
Cheers.
Instead they say cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cheese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Clarissa, we adore you. Best of luck with everything in the book. And we will continue to watch your coverage. I wish we had time. I meant to ask you about how the rest of the world is viewing us now. I'm so curious.
As a catastrophe.
I imagine they're only distressed.
They've got to be enjoying. They've got to be enjoying. They're both terrified and worried, but enjoying the show just a little bit.
I mean, I think there's an element of like, oh, things are so bad here. At least we're not in America. You're right. It could be worse.
And then there's two more thoughts, which is, oh yeah, America. Still the easiest place to live in the world, unfortunately. Even through all of this horror, still, you know, you can get your towels washed once a week or whatever it is. Yeah. All right, dear.
Thank
Have a wonderful weekend.
Bye.
Kiss, kiss.